Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, the fastest, one of the most informative radio shows on the air, where we learn to discern the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness, and discover God's will for our lives. Last week and then this week, we're closing just a two-part deal on the whole, you know, explosion over the Duck Dynasty statement made by Phil Robertson, the commander of Duck Dynasty, who was suspended slash fired in some people's viewpoints because he actually gave his opinion as to, you know, what sin was. And because he classified homosexuality by quoting the Bible as one of the many sins, he listed several of them, over 10, that's hurting America. He was asked in a GQ interview as to, you know, what the sins were that were hurting America, and he mentioned homosexuality and said some things about that as one of those sins. And since then, there's been a firestorm on both sides. Many liberals and gay activists and what have you basically wanted him tarred and feathered, wanted him silenced. Many people, millions and millions and millions of people coming to his defense saying, hey, this is how many, many people feel. In fact, almost every single person in America felt that way in the past. Over 99% probably percent of the populace felt that homosexuality was wrong and sinful. And biblically, I mean, if you're a Christian and you hold to the scripture and you hold to what God says in his word, it's not even an argument. It's clear as day as to what God says about homosexuality. We can't claim to be Christians and truly follow Christ and say, yeah, I follow Christ, I believe in his word and so forth, and then reject huge portions of his word on an issue that's detailed and spoken of in both the Old and the New Testament, in the New Covenant, and then also say, hey, I'm following Jesus, but you know what he said on the Sermon on the Mount, I really don't follow that, and what Jesus said about marriage, you know, I really don't go for that, and what Jesus said about sin, you know, I don't, that whole sin issue, you know, but I love Jesus. No, folks, the Bible says in Titus 1:16 that there are those who profess to know him, but by their works they deny him. And what does the Bible say? Is the Bible really clear on this issue? Well, last time I dealt with this, I dealt more with the issue of persecution and how Phil Robertson was only canned from the program, but A&E was trying to cut the name of Jesus, and they did on I guess a number of times from the family prayer at the end of each episode, and Phil Robertson said they're still keeping it in because he let them know that if they took the name of Jesus out of the family prayers, he's gone. The show was over, basically. So this is more than just about homosexuality. It really comes down to who is our Lord? Who is Jesus Christ? Are we truly going to follow him and follow what he teaches? Now, it's interesting because Phil Robertson, he stated, and as it's quoted in the GQ magazine, he paraphrased 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul warns against homosexuality and a plethora of other sins that bar people. He gives a vice list that will keep people out of the kingdom of God. And he quotes Paul, as I said, paraphrasing, quote, don't be deceived, neither the adulterers, and now that's not homosexuals, that's heterosexuals involved in sexual sin. The idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself, it's not right. Phil Robertson says. So because of this and things like this, he was basically fired. He said in the same interview, I myself am a product of the 60s. I centered my life around sex, drugs, and rock and roll until I hit rock bottom and accepted Jesus as my savior. He said, quote, my mission today is to go forth and tell people about why I follow Christ and also what the Bible teaches. And part of that teaching is that women and men are meant to be together, end quote. Folks, that's what the Bible does teach. Very clear on that subject. Very clear that God made two to become one flesh, that male and female, even if you're not looking at the Bible, male and female, obviously they fit together like two puzzle pieces and they produce life. That's the way God designed it. He didn't design for men to be with other men in ways that, with the anatomy, part of the anatomy that wasn't designed to be with, you know, men in that way. I don't want to be too graphic. He was very graphic and blunt, and I'm on the radio here, and I try to be not that graphic even in my normal speech, but he made it real clear that he didn't view the anatomies as being compatible between two men. And he said, we never ever judge someone as to who's going to heaven, hell. That's the Almighty God's job. He said, we just love them and give them the good news about Jesus. Whether they're homosexuals, drunks, terrorists, we let God sort it out later. So he gives what the scripture says on the issue. It isn't, and ultimately he says, God's going to judge who's going to be going to heaven or not, but he says biblically the scriptures say this, these will not enter the kingdom. So he's giving that message because he's wanting to be true to his God, folks. You know, it used to be a time where people admired people for standing with their convictions, standing for what they believed, and not being afraid to speak the truth, even if there were consequences. But it's interesting, this man people are repudiating because he basically gives statements about what he views as to be right and wrong that were in accord with what pretty much almost all Americans, you know, whether it was 98, 99, whatever percent believed just so many years back. But now he's canned. Now it's interesting because GLAAD, which is the pro-homosexual group, you know, transsexual and what have you, they impugned Robertson's statements as, quote, vile and littered with outdated stereotypes. And so, you know, vile. His statements were vile. It reminds me of the scripture that speaks of how they'll call good evil and evil good. His statements, which reflect scripture, are considered vile, whereas, you know, gay sex is now celebrated in the media. And it's interesting, GLAAD went on to say this, Phil and his family's claim to be Christian. Isn't it interesting? Now he's questioning whether Phil's a Christian based on his view on homosexuality. Or I should say the top gay group, GLAAD, is doing this. Phil and his family's claim to be Christian. But Phil and his family claim to be Christian, but Phil's lies, catch that, folks? Not only his view is vile because he disagrees with homosexuality, but they're now lies. But Phil's lies about an entire community fly in the face of what true Christians believe. Isn't that interesting? Him and his family claim to be Christians. True Christians don't believe that, though, and his claims are lies and vile. Isn't that interesting, folks? You know, caught up in all the hysteria, people get emotional on both sides of this topic. But what's the truth, really, folks? What does true Christianity teach? What does the Bible teach? Because GLAAD right here is involved in what I believe propaganda, propagating a lie that homosexuality is Christian, and that those who are against homosexuality, those who believe it's unbiblical, that the behavior is destructive and unbiblical, that they're the ones that aren't really true Christians, that they're liars. That's not really what the Bible teaches. Is that the case? In fact, I heard Piers Morgan on CNN right when this whole thing blew up, and Piers Morgan was saying, Hey, I'm a Christian, but I reject that, you know, that homosexuality is wrong, you know? And he went on and on. I thought, wow, here's Piers Morgan championing homosexuality, but claiming to be a true Christian, you know? Here's GLAAD claiming that Phil Robertson's not a true Christian. Him and his family have to make false claims because his views against homosexuality are lies. He's really the one who's unbiblical. You know, is basically what it would have to be, because Christians base their lives on what the Bible teaches. And Piers Morgan, you know, asked the question, where did Jesus ever, you know, speak against homosexuality? You know, one of the guests there, Michael Brown, said, well, Jesus never spoke against wife beating or heroin use, but that didn't mean it was acceptable. However, folks, Jesus did address sexual sin. And he dealt with homosexuality, at least implicitly. In fact, in Matthew 15, Jesus condemns all sexual sin, including homosexuality. He said that all sexual sin proceeds out of the heart, and it's wrong. And in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus affirmed the Decalogue. He affirmed the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. He affirmed the entire Old Testament, of course, as well. But in Matthew 19 specifically, he mentions Genesis, and where two, Adam and Eve, became one flesh. And said this is how God intended it from the beginning, that the two would become one flesh, and what God's joined together, let no man separate. He said God made them male and female, that the two would become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. So God's model of marriage, a man and a woman, two, not polygamy, two. He affirmed two would become one flesh, that they'd be male and female. And of course, there we learn in Genesis that they'd be fruitful and they'd multiply. That's how God's designed it. It's absolutely amazing what God's done. I mean, just that a male and a female of, you know, in all kinds of species, over a million different species, folks, it's mind-boggling. Male and female in most of those species. Some reproduce just by their lonesome, not with, you know, the opposite sex, of course, but with their lonesome. But for the most part, it's male and female. And it's amazing when you, I've seen some really heavy things on just, you know, the reproductive process. And it's you know, it's a miracle. Oh, it's natural the way God did it, but the way he set it up, because he did it, is miraculous. All that has to happen in the with the male and the female and the sperm and the ovum and the journey and a baby coming forth and the DNA. Oh, it's just absolutely riveting when you look into this, how what God's done. That's not what happens with a homosexual union, folks. Unfortunately, and it's very heartbreaking, but you know, millions of homosexuals deal with pain and depression and sadness, and many of them with life-threatening diseases as a result of homosexuality. And that's because God did not intend males to be with males. I mean, he made female and male to be together and to produce life, not death. And it's interesting, Jesus didn't only speak against all sexual sin and affirm that marriage is between a man and a woman, but Jesus warned that in the last days, he said it'd be like the days of Lot. Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said it'd be like that, in those same terrible days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where you know, it was full of homosexuality. It's filled with different sins, greed and laziness, and these kinds of things are mentioned in Ezekiel. But the scriptures specifically mentioned that males were trying to be with the angels who came in the form of male men, that they were trying to have sex with them, and that males from every quarter of Sodom, young and old, the whole place had been, you know, homosexualized, and that's what's happening in our country today. They came to Lot and they tried to get those angels who appeared in the form of men, so they said, so we can have sex with them, so we can lay with them, so we can know them. And that is a euphemism used earlier in that same book, Genesis. Adam knew Eve. It's a euphemism for sexual relations. And someone would say, oh no, they just wanted to be hospitable. Oh, you think Lot and the angels freaked out because they wanted to be hospitable? No, it was about sexual sin. In fact, we know that to be the case, and we know that Jesus was addressing the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it would be like that in the last days. And certainly it is, folks. We're seeing yet another of Jesus' prophecies come to pass. The thing is, you don't want to be one of those that's fulfilling that prophecy, that's being like they were in Sodom and Gomorrah. We all want to make sure we're repentant, whether it's homosexual, fornication, adultery, heterosexuals, not just homosexuals. That's just one sin out of many that the scriptures list, but it happens to be one that's being celebrated in our day and age. And I'll see you in about 30 seconds right after the break.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
What's interesting, Jesus also said in the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, so it's from him. He revealed to us in Revelation 11 that in the last days, even Jerusalem, the holy city where the Lord was crucified, would be, he was crucified outside the city walls, but Israel, he said, would be like Sodom and Egypt in the last days. Jesus revealed that. Revelation 1:1, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and he revealed that it'd be like Sodom there as well. So did Jesus address homosexuality? He most certainly did. In fact, he warned that how the world would become like that in the last days before his return to judge the world. In fact, Jesus' half-brother, Jude, writes this in Jude, beginning of verse 4, a book right before the book of Revelation in your Bible. Jude warns, for certain individuals, this is the half-brother of Jesus, for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ our sovereign and Lord. Now check this out. How do they turn the grace of God into a license for immorality? Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for the judgment of the great day. And then look at verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Now, did you catch that, folks? He talks about how angels, because it says in Genesis chapter 6 that the sons of God had relations with the daughters of men. That would be pretty perverted, wouldn't it? And he says in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah, they involved themselves in sexual immorality and perversion. In other words, angels were going after that which was not to be gone after, humans. In the same way, those in Sodom and Gomorrah were going after those that they should not have been seeking after, male on male. And we see that in Genesis chapter 19, when the angels, of course, and this way it's reversed, by the way, it's men wanting to be with angels in the form of men. And God torched Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jude ends that verse by saying they serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. If we're truly Christians, and you are a sincere Christian, and you love the lost, you care for those who are trapped in sin, who are headed toward hell, well, Jude tells us that those who are practicing those things are in danger of eternal fire. And it's not love to just wink at it and say it's no big deal and allow like it's not, there's nothing wrong. As Christians, if we're really going to be worth our Christian name, we need to take a stand for what the Bible takes a stand. We need to love people who are caught up in that sin. Just like we need, you know what, as a pastor, I have to speak to those who have been caught up in homosexuality. I have to warn them and tell them, hey, the Bible says adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. You need to repent of your homosexuality. You need to turn from it. Because the scriptures say, don't be deceived. Adulterers won't inherit God's kingdom. Does that mean I'm a bigot all of a sudden? Because I'm warning someone who has embraced, who has left their wife and their family for another woman, and I'm warning them, telling them what the scriptures say? No, that means I'm being true to my faith, I'm being true to my Christian convictions. The same verse that says homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom says that adulterers won't. But guess what? If there's someone who's caught in homosexuality, and I love that person, and God has brought me into their life, or he's given me an opportunity to speak to them, I'm going to lovingly warn them the same thing if they're not aware of that. In fact, I've had several homosexuals come to me to talk and say, hey, I know what the Bible says about this. I want to be right with God. And I've counseled them through these things successfully, just as I have those who've been caught up in homosexuality, because there's victory in Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. That was what the Christmas season is about, celebrating the fact that God became a man. They died for our sins. Not only adultery and fornication and all these other sins are listed, but homosexuality. He paid for every one of our sins. And if we turn from our sin and we repent and we turn from sin to Christ, we have the metanoia, that change of heart, change of mind. We put our faith in Jesus. The Bible says we'll become new creatures in Christ. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. The Bible says that faith works through love. We'll have a faith that seeks Jesus. And the scriptures tell us that faith without works is dead. So if we're truly in the faith, we're going to have evidence of that. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. We'll have good fruit. We'll be productive and be a blessing in the kingdom of God. However, as I said, when it's stated that by glad that, you know, Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty was basically, you know, lying when he said that, you know, this is what, you know, when he spoke of his Christian faith and what it meant, and that homosexuality is a perversion according to God. Well, guess what, folks? The scriptures are real clear about that. He's not lying, okay? If GLAAD wants to say that homosexuality is affirmed in the Bible and it's a good thing, they would be lying. In fact, folks, I'm going to just say this right now. I'm just going to tell you what the scriptures clearly say. Jesus himself affirmed, that homosexuality was not acceptable when he implicitly spoke of Sodom and Gomorrah and their behavior and his warnings about it in the end times. But Jesus also affirmed the law. Jesus said, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What was Jesus doing? He was affirming the morality of the law. Now, Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial law. He fulfilled the pictures and types. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath rest. Where our rest is him, we don't have to keep the Sabbath, because that wasn't a moral law. That was a picture of Jesus. Paul says in Colossians 2 that he is the reality. It was a mere shadow, and let no one judge you according to Sabbath day. We don't keep circumcision. That was a picture of being separated from the flesh. And we have the circumcision of the heart, Paul says in Romans chapter 2. We don't have to have animal sacrifices. Jesus fulfilled the law and all the sacrifices. He is the ultimate sacrifice that was sacrificed for us. We're not under the civil law of Israel, all their laws regarding the theocracy, that you had to be a Jew and how you were to act under theocracy of Israel. But we are under God's moral law. His moral law never changes. We don't keep his law to be saved. We're saved by what Christ did on the cross. But if we're trusting Jesus, the moral law is repeated in the New Testament as a guide as to how we're to live righteous lives. In fact, Jesus said it's to be affirmed, and he warned those who would teach against it. And I'm saying, when somebody says, hey, did Jesus Christ ever speak about homosexuality? I'm giving you instances where he affirmed heterosexual marriage. He warned against all sexual sin. He warned that it would be like the days of Lot and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah in the end times, where homosexuality was rampant. Jesus warned about that. And that Jesus upheld the moral of the law, the morals of the law. In fact, we're told in 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11, that God's law, when it's used properly, is a good thing, and that is to warn the non-believer and show him his sin so he could bring him to Christ. And one of those things that Paul lists in 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11 is things like kidnapping and murder and homosexuality. It's on the same list because that was part of God's moral code in the Mosaic law. In fact, I read in Leviticus chapter 18 in the law, verses 22 and 23, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Now, folks, I don't know how much clearer it gets than that. The Word of God says, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Now, folks, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, when Paul mentions the law that's written for our good, he mentions homosexuality because he's referring to this verse and verses like this. It goes on to say, also, you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Animals weren't meant to be with humans. Males weren't meant to be with males. Males were meant to be with females. And because Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty also mentioned bestiality, also pronounced bestiality as a sin that is harmful to America, and he listed it with other sins like adultery and homosexuality, he was lampooned. But the scriptures mention these sins together. In fact, it's the New Covenant and the teaching of Jesus where he affirms the morals of the law, and where Paul, who Jesus called to ministry on the road to Damascus and put in ministry, where Paul spoke more than any one person about homosexuality as a sin. Not only 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but in Romans chapter 1, Paul said it's unnatural. Men with men, he said, is unnatural. Female with female, it's unnatural. And he says, as a result of homosexuality, people will receive within their own persons a due penalty for their perversions. And it's sad when you see what happens in the homosexual community. Folks, if we really care about homosexuals, we'll shout from the rooftops, hey, you know, this is wrong. Turn back. Because this is the eternal question, is where we spend eternity. It's huge. And folks, I speak strongly against adultery. I speak against murder, killing babies. I speak strongly against greed and covetousness of people being materialistic and not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and living for the Lord. I speak against all of these things, but when things come up, I deal with them. And this is the thing that's come up recently, and everybody's talking about it. And I thought, you know what? Everybody's saying a lot of opinions. What does God's word have to say about this? Well, folks, that brings us to the conclusion of our program. I want to thank you for joining us with the Good Fight Radio Show, where we seek to press on to know the Lord and to make him known, and encourage you to press on to know Jesus. Stay on your face before him in prayer. Stay in his word. Don't turn to the left or the right. Hey, time is short. Our lives are like a vapor. You want to make sure you're right with Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, understand this. It doesn't matter what kind of behavior you've been caught up in. The most deplorable behavior, the most wicked behavior, whether you've been committing adultery or fornication or bestiality or homosexuality or whatever, Jesus died for all of our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the scriptures say, and the wages of sin are death. That's what we deserve. Jesus died in your place. He rose again. He conquered death. He promises you that unless you repent, he said, you will all likewise perish. That's a promise from Jesus too. So we have to repent, otherwise we'll perish and go into a Christless eternity without him forever and ever in outer darkness with his weeping and gnashing teeth. I want to encourage you right now. Don't play with the truth. Don't play with the reality of Jesus. Submit to him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Turn to Jesus now before it's too late. As I said, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you his shalom. Peace.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
All right, it comes down to just one thing.